Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 423. I'm Dave Elliott, and I'm a podcaster, a millionaire playboy, a cab driver, mercenary werewolf hunter. Today, Fantastic Four, 423, aka Volume 2, Number 7, from May 1997, Into the Negative Zone. Plot by Jim Lee, script by Brendan Choi, art by Brent Booth. So the issue begins with Reed, Sue, and Johnny visiting Ben in the hospital. He injured himself helping out with that core meltdown during the Avengers Iron Man crossover last episode. His hands are all bandaged up, and they have a couple of wires stuck on Ben to measure his vital signs, one over his heart, and the other one stuck to his head. I wonder, how can they pick up anything through that rocky hide of his? So Ben burned his hands on the radiation coming out of the core, and Johnny jokes that Ben should have tried to take the core apart using his face so that his face could be covered up with bandages. That's a terrible joke. Reed gets pissed at Johnny and yells at him, and Johnny apologizes and gives Ben a gift. Ben opens it up, and it's a Game Boy. It's a Game Master, a tiny handheld video game system, which Ben, with his burn-up hands, can enjoy. Not at all. Even without his burn-up hands, I doubt Ben could enjoy playing a Game Boy or a Game Master with his big rocky fingers. It's a gag gift. Johnny's such a dick. But he does pull out a real gift, a Cuban cigar. Yeah, a Cuban cigar. Ben better enjoy it while he can. In a couple of years, he won't be smoking any more cigars, thanks to political correctness in comics. Sue kisses Ben on the head and tells him to get well soon, and the three of them head out. Just as Alicia Masters arrives, she wants that rocky thing bad. Alicia enters the room, much to Ben's surprise. Ben apologizes for never calling her and telling her why he missed their date. Before he went on that mission, he didn't call her. He got back to New York, he didn't call her. Ugh, lady can't take a hint. She says she heard about him being in the hospital, so she just had to come down and visit, and she wants to finally spend some time alone together. And that's the end of the scene. I assume he proceeded to bone her. Back on the roof of the hospital, the other three members of the FF get in their plane. I'm pretty sure the roof of the hospital isn't zoned for plane landings. They get in, and Johnny's reading a newspaper, actually, more specifically, a tabloid newspaper, and he sees a story that says he's dating a Hollywood starlet, Julia Robertson. And Johnny says, yeah, right, she wishes. Johnny's such a stuck-up douchebag. He reads another story that says that Reed was offered $1 million to star in a porno flick. Sue says, at least I'll know why you really called Mr. Fantastic. I've been making jokes for years about Reed's ability to stretch certain body parts in an effort to please his lady, but it's weird seeing such a joke right here in the pages of the FF. I'm surprised Sue didn't get an offer to star in a porno movie. Wouldn't that be funny? And if it turned out to be the Submariner owning the porno studio, it'd be like a classic FF story, only with porn. They get back to the Baxter building and to Reed's lab, and he tells Sue and Johnny he's been doing more investigation into how they got their powers and the link between themselves and the Silver Surfer, and about that wormhole used by the Surfer to come to Earth. And surprisingly, he doesn't use the phrase stellar anomaly. Reed says that the wormhole works by allowing someone, such as the Silver Surfer, to take a shortcut by traveling through the negative's inner space within the wormhole. Reed calls this space the negative zone, and he says he's going to go have a look inside, alone. Sue's like, I don't think so. She says they're going as a team. So they put on some special negative zone suits, gather up some equipment, and hopefully they take some condoms, because you never know what's going to happen in the negative zone. Reed opens up this special door he's constructed that will take them to the negative zone, and they get in this little ship, and they fly in. They enter the distortion area and encounter a lot of turbulence, and they soon come across an asteroid, and they see someone standing on top of the asteroid. Why, it's Blastar, the living bomb burst, who doesn't like seeing newcomers in his area. So he shoots energy beams out of his hands at the FF's ship, which is hit, and the hull ruptures, Reed says the ship can't withstand another attack. This makes me want to root for Blastar. Attack, Blastar, attack! And he does, and the ship shatters into pieces, and the members of the FF go flying out into the void of the negative zone space. The Watcher shows up. At least, I think it's the Watcher. He's in the shadows. Sure does look like the Watcher. He appears behind Blastar and tells him to cease his senseless attacks, or else. Surprisingly, Blastar says,
"You, I've heard stories about your kind. This day is yours, but we shall meet again."
And he turns around and flies away. Over with the FF, they're having trouble breathing, but the Watcher saves them by teleporting them to a safe place. Well, not really a safe place, but a safer place. Reed appears in the place alone, wondering wherever he is and where Sue and Johnny are. Just then, Wolverine appears, oddly enough, not in the redesigned costume, but in his classic John Byrne Brown costume, Wolverine's best outfit if you ask me, and he says to Reed,
"We came to you for help, Richards. We trusted you, eh?"
Reed doesn't recognize Wolverine, and Wolverine jumps at him, right through him, at another version of Reed Richards. This one, wearing his classic John Byrne black and white FF uniform. Has the Watcher sent Reed to the John Byrne universe? So Wolverine says to Reed number 2,
"We put Shadowcat's life in your hands, eh? So you better save her, bub."
Nearby are the She-Hulk and Storm, and they tell Wolverine to stop. Leave Reed, number 2, alone. Reed thinks he might be in the future, but he checks his fancy watch, his chronolog, and he sees he's in the past. I know, it's 1987. It's a scene from the miniseries X-Men vs. Fantastic Four. So Reed is kind of freaked out. How could all this be taking place in the past before the FF even got their powers, not knowing that he's not the real Reed Richards and they're not the real FF, just pale imitations? It's interesting how they have scenes like this to remind us that we're not reading about the real Fantastic Four. It's like the recent movies Star Trek at 11 and 12, where they have Leonard Nimoy appear to remind us that we're not watching the real Star Trek. Reed theorizes that he must be in some kind of alternate dimension, and he wonders what happened to these counterparts from the other universe. Next, the Watcher appears and tells Reed he's seen enough. Johnny, meanwhile, pops into another part of 1987, where Ben Grimm is in a nice suit, and Alicia is in a wedding dress. Johnny thinks they're about to get married to each other, but soon realizes Alicia is getting married, but not to Ben. She's getting married to Johnny. The Watcher pops in to take Heroes Reborn Johnny away. And finally, Sue pops into Central Park and sees Franklin wearing his John Byrne-designed 4.5 shirt. A cute shirt, but boy, did that set off a tsunami of bad ideas, where all the supporting characters in the recent few years of FF comics are all wearing these different numbered shirts. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. As if all the supporting characters have been numbered in order of importance. So dumb. I'm sure I'll talk about that more when I get to it. So Agatha calls the kid Franklin, and Sue notices that, hey, that's her father's name. And then she notices there's a family resemblance. And then Agatha calls him Franklin Richards, and he runs to his mother, the Sue Richards of 1987. The Sue of 1997 cries and says to herself, "I'm the mother of a little boy, but that's just not fair. The doctor said..." But she doesn't finish. She falls to the ground crying. The doctor said what? The doctor said she couldn't have a baby unless she could find a father that could stretch his penis long enough to deposit the sperm further into her... Okay, I'm not going to finish that thought. The Watcher appears with Johnny and Reed. Reed asks if she's okay. She replies,
"No, I'm not. Tell me, why is this happening to us?"
The Watcher introduces himself and says that he wanted to show them this other world, a world they must fight to restore before time runs out. If they fail, the resulting consequences will have a profound impact on the entire universe. Yes, if the Heroes Reborn universe never went away, it would have a very profound effect on the universe. I probably would have never started reading the FF again, and this podcast would not exist. I can't say if that's a negative or positive effect. You be the judge. The three of them get teleported home to the Baxter building, and Reed checks his chronolog and sees they were gone for a few days. He says he's going to run some more tests and check his sensors to see what else he can learn. And Johnny says to Reed that he has more important problems to deal with. Sue. So Reed gives her a hug, and we head back to the other side of the galaxy, where the Silver Surfer is returning to his master, Galactus. The Big G asks if Earth is ready for harvest, and Silver Surfer says this world is different from the other worlds that Galactus has eaten. The people there are really nice and friendly. The planet just needs further observation. But Galactus is like,
Nope, I don't care.
I'm hungry. I'm gonna eat it.
The Surfer should have just lied and said that Earth wasn't ready to eat. So Galactus turns his ship around and heads toward Earth. The Watcher shows up to tell us that he has pledged to only observe the events of the universe as they unfold and never interfere. Until now. Well, yes, of course, until now. And that brings us to the end of another issue of the Fantastic Four. Coming next time, Sue starts having visions of that boy Franklin running around their headquarters. Is she going crazy or is it something else? What happens when the Makulu tablet shows up? And an archaeological find that mentions the Great Refuge, a land that exists in the Himalayas. What happens when Johnny meets a young lady with long red hair at a party? Her name is Frankie Ray. Will there be enough room left in the issue to include Galactus? And whatever happened to Matthew Storm? If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over.